Okay, just for the audio recording and the video recording, this is Wednesday, the 21st of November 2018. It's the Father Heart TV live webcast, and this evening our topic is opening our heart. I just want to start by reading a few verses from Ephesians chapter 1. They're very, very familiar verses, but really this is the sort of starting point for what I want to share with us this evening. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15 to 18. For this reason, I too, having heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be opened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You know, these verses are very, very familiar and something that, we know very well. But it's really a sort of profound key for us, because Paul is praying here that the eyes of our heart may be opened. Because the reason he's praying that, the reason he's sort of bringing that at the beginning of this amazing letter is because he knows and he wants us to know how important it is that we see things with our hearts. Because we relate to God the Father, we relate to Jesus, we relate to the Holy Spirit from our hearts. You know, whenever we talk about our faith, whenever we talk about our journey with the Lord, it's a heart connection, and it's a living heart relationship. And if we don't have the eyes of our heart opened, then, you know, we really don't see things as they truly are. And what I love about this passage is Paul prays, and he says, I pray that the Father, the glorious Father, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so in the knowledge of him. You know, we get the ability to know the Father better directly from him. It's the Father who gives us the spirit of revelation that enables us to know the Father. You know, and I just think that is just so generous and so kind of the Father, that he himself gives us what we need in order to know him. And for me, that is just such a wonderful thing, because it takes it all off me. You know, it's not my responsibility. It's not my burden. It's not my own strength and my own making that increases my knowledge of him. You know, he gives me the spirit of wisdom and revelation that enables me to see who he really is. And I just think that's so wonderful, that we have such a loving Father who gives us the wherewithal to know him better. You know, we get this spirit of wisdom, we get this spirit of revelation that enables us to know who God really is. And, you know, that tells me that we cannot make it up ourselves, we cannot come to this point ourselves, we cannot arrive at that without the Father of glory giving us this revelation. And once we've got this spirit of wisdom and revelation, so we know who he is, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened or opened, so that you will know the hope of his calling. So, you know, we receive this wisdom of and revelation of who he is, and then the eyes of our heart are opened and we begin to see who we truly are. You know, this is a double-double. You know, we get to know who he is and we get to know who we are. And the more we know who he really is, that he's our loving Father, the more we come to that place of living and resting in our sonship. Because it's all about him. It's not about us, it's about what he has done for us. And he's given us the ability to know him better, to know who he really is. And I just want to look at this whole topic of the eyes of our heart, because it's so fundamental to our journey with Father and our relationship with Father. It's so fundamental to really knowing who he is. You see, Romans chapter 5 verse 5, and again it's another verse we know very well. Romans 5 verse 5 says, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, and what we see from that is that love, the love of the Father, is a real substance that is poured into our hearts. You know, this love of God, this love of the Father, it really exists. It's a substance, it's a reality. And the very reality of the Father loving us is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, for us to be able to fully receive that love, for us to enter into the relationship that God wants us to have, the eyes of our heart have got to be opened in order that we can receive, in order that we can see this and experience this love that is being poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Love really is a substance, and it's poured into our hearts. One of the questions I'm often asked is, I know it in my head, but how do I get it to drop into my heart? And I've discovered that that's actually the wrong question, because Romans 5 verse 5 is very, very clear. He doesn't pour his love into our minds in the vague hope that one day, maybe, it might just happen to drop into our hearts. You see, if we're waiting for that to happen, we could be waiting a long time. But the reality is, the truth is that he pours his love directly into our hearts. And, you know, if you've been asking that question, I know in my head, how do I get into my heart? I would just encourage you to stop asking that question and say, Father, pour your love into my heart, because that's where he pours his love. You see, I think you could ask any Christian, you know, is God a God of love? Does he love me? And they would say yes. And they would, because they would know that in their mind. You know, and there's a big difference to knowing that God is a God of love to knowing that he is loving us right now. And that's the relationship he has for us, is that he is loving us right now. And there's just a huge difference between knowing something in your heart and knowing something in your head. And, you know, many, many people, you can have these discussions with people, and you're saying the same words, but actually you're saying something completely different, because one is an experience of the mind and the other is an experience of the heart. And it's the heart that is central to everything, because that's where the love of the Father pours his love. And it's as the eyes of our heart are opened that we see who he really is, and we see who we really are. So it's absolutely fundamental to the journey that we're on. But the problem is, and I guess we all can see this in our own lives, the problem is that although the heart is so central, you know, we know that there are some parts of our heart that may be closed. You know, it's like a room with a locked door. And our hearts are very sensitive, and they're very easily wounded. And we really do want to try and protect our hearts. So because of all the pain, because of all the wounding, you know, the stuff of life, you know, what we do is we are wounded, so we close our heart. You know, that wound is too painful maybe to deal with, and so we put the trap door down on it and we lock it and we say, I'm not going to go there. Or we've been wounded so often that we gradually close our heart because we don't want to be hurt anymore. And, you know, I think we can probably recognize that, you know, all of us can recognize that. And yet, here we have an invitation to open our heart, not to be hurt, not to be wounded, but to open our heart to receive the extravagant love of the Father. And the problem is, you know, the wounding is so painful and so deep sometimes that, you know, we don't know if we can open our heart because we don't want to be hurt again. And that's where it's really a journey of healing, and it's a journey of faith where we have to trust that God is good all the time, and we can come to him with our broken heart, and we can invite him into our heart to heal it, restore it, strengthen it, and fill it with his love. One of the things I've discovered is the Holy Spirit is not a bully and is not an unwanted guest. You know, he doesn't force his way in. You know, although the Holy Spirit knows that more than anything, we need our hearts to be filled with his love. You know, more than anything, we need our hearts to be soaked in the Father's love. The Holy Spirit is not a bully. He's not pushy. He's not an unwanted guest. But what he does is he woos us, and he invites us to open our heart so that it can be healed. But more than that, that the love of the Father can be poured into our heart. And, you know, those of you who have been on the webcast for a period of time, we've often talked about some of the blockages to opening our heart. And two of the major blockages are unforgiveness and, you know, not having the heart of sonship. And, you know, maybe we'll look at those again in a bit more detail in the new year. But, you know, we know that there are blockages, and we can get help to remove those blockages so that the part of our heart that has been closed can be opened up. And I would really just encourage you to on this journey to keep bringing your hearts to the Father and keep saying, Father, I want an open heart, you know, and I want to deal with the blockages, you know, and by your grace, by your Spirit, will you help me to walk through these things? Because, you know, the blockages are very, very real. You know, the more we can get rid of the blockages, the more our heart will become a container for him and for his love. You know, we've got Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18 that we've read out, that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened. We've got that incredible encouragement to live from the heart. You know, it's a stark contrast to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, where he talks about the futility of living from the mind. You know, it's a clear, clear contrast that, you know, living from the mind actually doesn't lead us anywhere. But living from the heart is the journey that the Father is taking us on. And so, you know, my encouragement is that we constantly seek to come before the Father and say, Father, you know the state of my heart, but will you allow it to be opened? Will you keep pouring your love in? See, because as we live in that environment of constantly receiving his love, it deals with the blockages in our heart. In John chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And again, it's a very familiar passage, but what Jesus offers that woman and what he offers us is living water. You know, he says, if you're thirsty, come to me and have a drink. You know, I will give you living water that will satisfy you, and you'll never be thirsty again. Now, of course, he's not talking about drinking water, but he's talking about the life that flows from him into us. You know, it's not about it's not about the external things of our life, but it's about the state of our heart. And Jesus offers us life, and he offers us life in abundance. And we get that life in abundance when we live from the heart and when we constantly allow him to pour his love into our hearts. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness just after his baptism, you remember he went out in the wilderness for 40 days, and Satan basically attacked him through various temptations. And they were all about an attack on Jesus's heart. You know, it was like he was attacking the core of who he was. He was attacking his, you know, relationship with the Father. You know, the first two temptations were, if you are the Son of God, do this. And of course, Jesus was so secure in his sonship that he didn't have to play Satan's game. And the third temptation was, don't worship God, but worship me. You know, he was again attacking his heart. But, you know, what we see throughout the whole life of Jesus was that he was so secure in his sonship, that he was living in the center of his Father's love, that, you know, he could just wash those things off and brush them away. You know, I guess for us sometimes it's a little bit harder, but, you know, the reality is that we can become so secure in our sonship that we know who he is and we know who we are. And that's all about, it comes back to his love being poured into our hearts. It's a journey of our hearts, you know, and our hearts are good. You know, our hearts are the place where the Father has chosen to make his home. The problem is we can easily arrive at the wrong conclusion. You know, we read Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, and we read that the heart is deceitful above all things. In Ezekiel 11, verse 19, we're told we have a heart of stone. Yeah, Matthew 12, verse 34, Jesus says, it's out of the heart the mouth speaks. And, you know, we can read those verses in isolation, and it's not particularly good news, but it's not the whole story. Because what we actually read through the rest of Scripture is that our heart has been transformed, and it's gone through this amazing transformation. And, you know, okay, sometimes we feel things are a struggle, but there's always hope because God the Father lives in our heart. And so there's always hope for a transformation. You know, we need it. We have a new heart, but we need the ongoing transformation of our heart, and it is something that is totally possible. See, King David knew that our hearts needed a transformation. In Psalm 86, verse 11, he says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name." You see, David's desire was to have an undivided heart, and he recognized that there was a struggle going on in his heart. He recognized the challenges, but his prayer is, you know, "Father, teach me your faithfulness, show me your faithfulness, lead me in your ways, but give me this, you know, undivided heart." Remove, what I think he's saying is, remove the struggle that's going on in my heart. And we read something very similar in Psalm 51, which is David's great prayer of repentance after he'd sinned and with Bathsheba. And Psalm 51 is just a beautiful psalm. And in verses 10 and to 12, David writes, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit." See, there he is just coming before the Father and saying, "Father, I've messed up, but will you purify, will you transform my heart?" You know, he's giving his heart, he's giving his broken heart back to the Father and saying, "Father, you know what I've done, but here's my broken heart. Will you clean it up?" And that's, you know, that's what the Father's in the business of doing. And, you know, of course we all mess up. It may not be like David, but, you know, we all get to that place sometimes. And we too can come and say, "Father, here's my heart. Here's my broken heart. Just sort it out." And you know what? He will. When we look at David's life, we don't know everything that he'd been through, but we do know that he'd been through a lot of rejection. You know, when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons, David wasn't even brought into the room. He had to be got in later. You know, when he went to fight Goliath, his brothers rejected him. In Psalm 27, he said, "Though my father and mother forsake me, you will not forsake me." See, we don't know what he went through, but somehow through all of that, he comes out of it with the heart of a son. You know, he's obviously a son towards Jesse. He's a son towards Saul. You know, he calls Saul. He says, "My father, my father." And that's when Saul is trying to kill him. You know, and when he was in Saul's service, he would continually go back home to feed his father's sheep. You know, he really did have the heart of a son. And in Acts chapter 13, we read that David, King David, was a man after God's heart. You know, there are only, as far as I know, there are only two people in Scripture that it says that of. One is Jesus, of course, and one is King David. He was a man after God's heart. He had an open heart. And whatever he'd been through, he somehow kept his heart open. And he knew how to bring his broken heart back to the Father and say, "Father, here I am again. You know, just fill me again. Clean my heart up. Fill me with your love. Let me walk in that place of intimacy and relationship with you." Yeah, we know the story very well in Luke chapter 15. You know, the two sons, the older son, the younger son, both of them had their hearts closed. Neither son wanted relationship with the father or with each other. And, you know, we see that played out in that story in Luke 15 in two different ways. You know, one son went off in rebellion and the other son stayed on the family farm. But as far as he was concerned, he was a slave. He was a slave to his father. And, you know, they didn't want a relationship with their dad. They didn't want a relationship with each other. And we see through that story how the younger son, he tried to open his heart. You know, he's in the pig pen and he realizes he's sunk to a very low place. And he decides to go back home. But all he can do at that stage is go back home as a servant. So he's kind of like in the process of just opening his heart a little bit. But of course, it doesn't fully get opened up again until he gets back home and the father throws his arms around him and receives him back into his sonship. It's only, I believe, at that point that his heart is fully opened. And what we see through this story is that a closed heart always cuts off relationship. It always leads to a loss of relationship. And it's the same for us. You know, when we close our heart to other people, even if it's as a result of wounding or pain or hurt, we shut that part of our heart. We close that part of our heart to those other people. But whenever we close our heart to, or part of our heart to other people, it's actually closed to our Heavenly Father as well. And it's closed to receiving His love. Now, we close our hearts in an attempt to protect them. And very often, the biggest area we close our hearts in is with our relationship with our earthly parents. And one of the things we discover, particularly on our schools, is that if our hearts are closed to our earthly parents, then that becomes a filter in the way that we see our Heavenly Father and the way we relate to our Heavenly Father. And our heart actually becomes closed to receive the Father's love. And it's as the heart of sonship is restored to our parents, so also is our heart of sonship restored to our Heavenly Father. And, you know, that bit of the heart that's been closed for whatever reason can begin to be opened up again. And as we open our hearts up again, we can receive the love of the Father. Romans 5 verse 5, God pours his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We know we've got an enemy. We've got an enemy who comes to kill, steal and destroy. And, you know, we can look at that and we can try and protect ourselves and stop him doing it. But we're looking in the wrong direction. You know, he's a loser. he's lost the battle. But we have a Father who promises life and life in all its fullness. And I would rather focus on receiving that life in all its fullness rather than trying to fight the enemy and stop him killing, stealing and destroying. You know, I would rather look to my Heavenly Father rather than look at the enemy. I think sometimes we're so focused on preventing attacks of the enemy and stopping him destroying what God's doing that we're actually looking in the wrong direction. And what our Father wants to do is he wants us to turn so that our gaze is upon him, so that we look to our Father and we look to receive this abundant life that he promises us. Because when we look at him, it's that step of faith of being drawn into receiving love. And it's being drawn into having our heart opened. So I would really, really encourage you to make the focus of your gaze him and his life and his love for you, because that is an opening process. It opens our heart. Whereas if we're trying to sort of stop the enemy attacking us, it's just keeping our heart in protected mode. You know, this is a journey of faith. But, you know, faith is a gift. Paul writes in Ephesians that faith is a gift from him. And so, you know, when we talk about a journey of faith, we're not even talking about a journey that we have to crank up the faith to go on it. It's like he's giving us that gift of faith. And if we can take that step of faith to open our heart and say, Father, I want my heart open. I want the eyes of my heart to see who you really are. That's going to draw us into love so that we can receive more and more love. You see, Solomon says in Proverbs 4 verse 23, above everything, guard your heart, for from it flows the wellspring of life. For everything you do flows from it. You see, it's so important to live from our heart. You know, that's the source of our life. That's the wellspring of our life, as Solomon says. One of the questions, you know, I get asked sometimes is, what is the difference between a closed heart and a guarded heart? See, I've just been saying we don't want to have a closed heart, but Solomon says, guard your heart. And, you know, one of the things I'm often asked is, what is the difference? And I think I like it simple. And this is what I've come up with is, when we guard our heart, we're protecting it, but we're keeping the good in and we're keeping the bad out. You know, we're keeping his love in and we're guarding that. We're safeguarding it. We want to keep the treasure that is poured into our heart. But a closed heart is we keep the rubbish in and the love out. See, I think they're opposites. You know, it's very easy to sort of feel like they're maybe just two different ways of saying the same thing. But I actually believe a guarded heart and a closed heart are opposites. And we want to keep the good in and the bad out. And that's why we have to guard our heart. You know, it comes down to a journey of trust, a journey of faith. And, you know, how do we do that journey of faith? You see, I think sometimes we can feel like it's too big a step. It's too hard. It's too difficult. You know, the stuff in our heart has been there for so many years and we really don't know what to do with it or how to respond to it. But I think it's quite simple. And I think it's actually very simple. I think it's just like, it's that question we often ask, you know, can you be a little boy or little girl who needs to be loved? And to me, that's the key, because otherwise it becomes too complicated. Otherwise it becomes too difficult and we end up living with a closed heart. We end up knowing in our head, but not allowing it to flow directly into our heart. And I really believe that for us to respond to perfect and complete expression of love, it's coming with that childlike simplicity that says, I'm just a little boy who needs to be loved by a big dad. And, you know, can I just encourage you to ask that question of yourself? You know, am I a little boy or am I a little girl who just needs to be loved, who just needs love? And if you can say yes, you know, I really believe that's the first big step that we take in order to allow our heart to open up and allow the eyes of our heart to see. You know, we say we forgive and we go on forgiving, and we receive love and we go on receiving love, and we receive comfort and we go on receiving comfort. You know, it's the same thing. You know, I really believe we open our heart and we go on opening our heart, you know, and we're continually saying, coming to the Father and saying, Father, I just need more of your extravagant love, because there can be no point on the journey that we've got it. Because if we think we've got it, all we've done is minimize God down to the level of our understanding. And he is so much bigger than that. And so I want to encourage you to just keep on coming before the Father and saying, Father, I want more of my heart to be opened. I want the eyes of my heart to see more. And that will lead us. I believe that's the thing that leads us into walking as Jesus walked and living as Jesus lived. See, when our hearts are touched, we will begin to live differently. You know, we can't make ourselves live differently. We can't drum anything up, but it's as our hearts are changed, we will automatically begin to live differently. You know, in Luke chapter 5, verse 33 to 39, Jesus says, you don't take a new garment and rip a bit of the new garment and make it to be a patch on an old garment. He said, that's just going to pull and tear. And I really believe that the Father's love is not a patch. The Father's love is a completely new garment. And, you know, please don't just take a little bit of it and stick it on your old way of life. You know, get rid of the old garment that's got holes in it and put on the new garment, which is a garment of love. Colossians 3 verse 12 says, clothe yourself in love. And, you know, I really believe that's the point of that story that Jesus was telling, is that, you know, the Father's love is the new garment. And, you know, don't rip a little bit off and stick it on the old garment, but be clothed in love, because that will be the way we begin to walk in love and live as Jesus walked and walk as Jesus walked. You see, our heart is the container to receive his love. And it's the eyes of the heart. You know, Paul talks about the eyes of the heart, and we read about them, you know, in other places, that the eyes of the heart are how we really see who God is. You know, Jesus didn't come to give us facts and principles. He came to give us a relationship. And this relationship is a heart relationship. You know, Jesus tells us in John chapter 14 verse 23 that he's going to the Father and they're going to come back and make their home in our hearts. You see, I just find this is just so exciting, that his love is dwelling in our hearts and he's filling us with his love. And it's the eyes of our heart being opened that enable us to see that and to dwell in love. And, you know, the question often is how do I open my heart? And I just want to come back to that. I think it's simple. Paul says in his prayer that we started off with in Ephesians, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be opened. You see, he knows that we can't do it ourselves. It's a supernatural intervention. And, you know, if you've got the question, how do I open my heart? How do I allow the eyes of my heart to be opened? I think you just ask him and say, Father, I want the eyes of my heart to be opened. I want to see with my heart. I want to relate to you with my heart. Father, will you come and fill me with your love? See, Romans 5, just to finish with, Romans 5 verse 5 says, hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And this journey, this relationship with the Father, is a heart connection. It's a heart relationship. We receive his love in our heart. We live out of our heart towards him. And I just want to encourage you to keep asking for an expansion of your heart. Keep asking that the eyes of your heart would see who he is and see who you really are. And keep asking that he will keep on filling you, pouring his love into your heart. Can I just close and just pray? Just pray for us that we would just right this moment have an infilling of his love into our hearts. So Father, thank you that you've chosen to live in our hearts. Father, thank you that you've made your home in our hearts. And Father, I just ask right now that you would come to each one of us and you would pour your love into our hearts. Father, would you come and just fill us again with your love? Father, thank you that you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that enables us to know you. The very thing we need to know you, you give us. Father, I just thank you for that, that you make it possible for us to know you because you give us that very gift. Father, you cause the eyes of our hearts to be opened so that we can see who you are and we can see who we are. Father, I just ask that we would look to you. Father, that we would look at life, we would drink life. We would focus on life rather than focus on the attacks that come against us. But we would focus on the source of life and living in life. Father, I just ask that you would very simply put a garment of love on each one of us, that we would be clothed in love right now. Father, that we would be clothed in your love. That you would fill us afresh with your love. Father, right now, right across this webcast, just come and fill each one of us with your love. Father, that we would just soak in your love. That our hearts would expand with your love. That we would be filled more and more with your extravagant love for us. Because your love doesn't disappoint us. Your love brings us life. Amen.